Assalamualaikum, everyone. Welcome to the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast. I'm so excited to be joined today by Faryal Muhammad. She is in Dallas and has been part of AMCF on our board and involved in different committees. But I want to give her an opportunity to share her journey into how she's gotten here. So welcome to the show, Faryal.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Of course. So let's go back to the beginning. I know you from Indianapolis. So, you know, when I was a ISNA graduate fellow, I think that was back in like 2011, 2012, but possibly before that as well. So tell us all we need to know about, you know, where you grew up, the community you were part of, and how you became Faryal Muhammad.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. But I was born and raised in Indianapolis, Indiana. You know, it's kind of a small town, but that's, you know, I lived there my entire life up until about 3.5 years ago when I moved to Dallas. But I did all my schooling there. So I went to IUPUI, which is the Indianapolis campus of Indiana University. I did my undergrad in healthcare administration and I didn't like it. But I was always really involved in the community. And so I think I did a lot of through my volunteer work, I found some skill set in communications, marketing, messaging, that sort of area. And so, you know, one thing led to another, and I somehow landed up in a communications role for my full-time job after I graduated. And so I was working at ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America at the time, and you know, it's a nonprofit. And so they had a fundraising department. And so I had started getting involved in the fundraising, starting with just, you know, helping with messaging, helping with communications, outreach and whatnot. And then that's when I realized I had a passion and an interest and a skill set that worked in fundraising. And I decided to get my master's at the philanthropy school, which is also at IU. And then that's kind of how I fell into the nonprofit, the philanthropy world.
Really cool. And what better university than IU to go for that degree? So that must have been a really great experience as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, any nonprofit professional, I can't recommend enough to do, at least a course, if not the full graduate program. You know, they have the fundraising school that's a part of it. It's just the wealth of knowledge and research there. It's really so unique and so important to have.
For sure. So for our listeners, the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy at Indianapolis University is housed at IUPUI. And they also have a program called the Fundraising School, which is for people who may not want to take like a semester or a graduate degree, but maybe work towards a certificate. So I've been part of the faculty at the fundraising school and teaching these courses. And I often keep these binders and books around my desk from those classes because they're so critical in developing annual sustainability and major gifts and a capital campaign plan and so many unique courses that they are experts in. So you went and got your graduate degree from there. When did you graduate?
So I graduated in 2020. So mm-hmm. I was so excited and looking forward to, you know, the ceremony. So by that time I had actually moved to Dallas and I was so excited to fly back and make the walk, but COVID happened and none of that happened. So I didn't fly back home and I didn't walk either, but nonetheless, I got the knowledge, which is the most important thing. But yeah, I graduated in 2020. But I was working full time, which I think is really important. Some people get a little worried when they get their master's, like, how am I going? Like, do I need to quit my, like, don't need to quit your job. they're really great with, they work with you. Just talk to the advisors, let them know, hey, this is my situation. I can take one class a semester. I can take two classes a semester, utilize summers. So they're really great, great about that.
That is dedication. So kudos to you. So then you worked at ISNA for a little bit. After ISNA, where did you land?
So after ISNA, I started working with St. Vincent Hospital or Ascension, which is in Indianapolis, the local hospital. It was actually the hospital I was born at. Fun fact. Wow. Yeah. So that was kind of cool to work, to come full circle, work at the hospital you're born at. Yeah. But they, Ascension kind of bought out all of the Catholic hospitals. And so they had a whole restructure and my job got eliminated. And I was kind of at a crossroads because I was like, well, you know, I've been in Indianapolis all my life, which is a great city. And it's, you know, I'm not knocking it at all. But, you know, I did kind of hit a ceiling, I kind of felt, professionally. And so I just applied everywhere, literally, like, you know, in all the cities. I did focus on cities where I had family, for obvious reasons. I mean, wait,
did or did not?
I did.
Okay, because I did not. So I just wanted to.
Okay. I know. A support system is always important.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I love my family.
Of course. Yeah.
So I ended up in Dallas. It's what worked out, alhamdulillah. You know, it's one of those things I just kind of took a leap of faith and I just applied everywhere and I just made dua that, you know, I land where I need to be. And alhamdulillah, that's what happened. So after I started working, so I moved to Dallas because I started working at Children's Health, which is the local children's hospital here in Dallas. And while I was working here, I actually got my CFRE. So I got that certification, which is a huge deal. And I've been able to get really involved with professional development in this role. And so I'm currently actually in part of the Rising Stars program with the Donor Relations Guru. And I also just got selected to be on the DEI Council for the larger hospital system, not just the foundation. So I'm really excited to be able to, you know, find ways to get involved, not just professionally, but also personally, obviously as a hijabi woman, being able to create a safe and inclusive work environment is really important to me. And so having the opportunity to do that at the hospital, at my workplace is really exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so CFRE is being a certified fundraising executive. You have to do a combination of experience and educational things along with taking an exam. So I'm actually in the process of recertifying because every 3 years you have to do that. So kudos to you on doing that. And with the hospital, it's really cool to see that and hear that you're integrating within the administration and different committees and getting involved there. I would imagine that at the health system, they probably have a significant Muslim either patient base or workforce base.
Right on. And just some advice regarding the CFRE. I think what really helped me jumpstart the CFRE process was my master's degree. So once I had graduated, I had all of these education. I basically had that entire segment fulfilled. And so it wasn't easy for me and I was working full time. And so I had those credits as well. So if you are working full time or even part time and you do graduate from a program, this is not necessarily just the master's program, but even a certificate program, you might have enough points to go ahead and study for the exam and to set you on that path of getting the CFRE. So I would definitely look into that if you're in that position.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there are free resources, online study groups, books that you can take as the pre-exams to learn from and get comfortable with. So I would highly recommend it. With any certified, like standardized testing, I'm not the strongest. at like my ACT and SAT scores, I'm not even going to share how low they were. But alhamdulillah for the CFRE, I think it was just based on the experience that I had working and just like the knowledge that I'd gained through these different courses and organizations like Association of Fundraising Professionals and CFRE study group and working in the industry, that it was just that, like, what's your gut intuition? And alhamdulillah, like, that helped a lot in answering the questions in the test.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm the same. I'm not and I was so nervous going into it, but a lot of it, so much you can study, but then nothing replaces experience. And the CFRE test, thankfully for people like us, leans into that.
Off the recording, we can share how low our scores were, but we'll leave that for later. Great. So tell us more about like your exact role at the hospital professionally and kind of what you work on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so I'm on the stewardship team at Children's Medical Center Foundation at Children's Health. And so what that means is my job specifically, I work with the one-to-many communications, which means I work, so what I do is I will create things like thank you cards or impact reports that will go to the masses. So basically everyone that had donated to a certain campaign or something like that. And so we also do tailored stewardship. And so I have another teammate that works on that one-to-one sort of tailored, very customized. And so my focus is actually on the one-to-many. And so I work with a vendor called Pastalgia. And so what they do is they have a hand, like an actual pen. So they have machines that will handwrite thank you cards and or birthday cards. So I'll do that on a monthly basis. So to send birthday cards to our donors, and it'll look like it's handwritten. So that's kind of something really cool. So I do a lot of like project management, vendor management, that, you know, customized, tailored stewardship field, but it's still one to many.
Yeah, I think that's super critical part of the puzzle that so many people don't have the capacity to focus on or just don't value in the development process. So I'm going to wear my nerd glasses and ask you more details about that process. How big is the overall development staff at the hospital?
We have grown now. Our foundation is about almost 80 people.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we've since 2020, when I started, I think maybe it was a group of 60 at the time. So we've grown huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we have different departments. We have an annual giving team. We have corporate. We have legacy and, you know, gift planning. So that's, you know, the wills and whatnot. And then we also have a full communications team on board. We have, you know, of course, our database management team, information systems, I think is their technical name. But basically, they will work with the hospital to get data, to get, you know, those sort of patient stories, where money is being used, all that sort of technical jazz. Like, we have a whole team dedicated to that. And an external relations team. So they do a lot of, you know, third party events and those smaller fundraisers. So we're a huge, huge operation. But my team, my little stewardship team, we're a team of four.
Cool.
And so we're small but mighty. And it's really cool because we get to touch all the different the departments and partner with them in different ways. So that's a lot of fun. And like I said, or like you had mentioned earlier, it's not sometimes people don't value stewardship, but they don't realize like that's the last piece of the puzzle on the fundraising cycle. And that's what's going to get you retention of donors and hopefully, you know, upgrading donors.
Yeah.
So it is a really important piece, sometimes forgotten, but important.
100%. Yeah. In Fundraising Academy, where I also work part-time in addition to AMCF, we teach the entire like cost selling cycle, and they say stewardship is the most critical part of the gift process, because once you get them in, that attrition is oftentimes a significant part of a nonprofit, but the retention is the most critical. And like you said, that repeat gift, the increase of the gift, and then the lifelong relationship of the donor with the nonprofit is all about stewardship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, exactly. Because otherwise you end up in a situation that we call a leaky bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what that is that, you know, donors will come in and they'll come out just like a leaky bucket. And so you don't want that. You want to be able to retain them. You want to engage them in different ways. So some of our major donors, we'll even bring them in for hospital tours or scholarships. And so you want to engage your donors in different ways. Of course, you know, you'll tier it in different levels based on how much they're giving, but it's still really important to steward them.
Yeah. And, you know, even if you have a leaky bucket, it's better than not having a bucket, but there are buckets that are functional and maybe you need to put some duct tape on it, some Gorilla Glue, so whatever you have to lessen the leakiness. So I hear you on that one.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about just like different community things you're involved with. I know from being your friend, you are super active in the health and fitness space. You are super active in volunteering your time with other community projects. So feel free to share a little bit more about your hobbies and interests and other stuff that you do.
Yeah. So when I moved here to Dallas, I did start like a health journey. And so I've lost over 100 pounds since I moved here.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a huge.
With all the good food there too. Like, how does that work?
Yes. And so I do try to help women through my Instagram page and just sometimes just one-on-one coffees with different women. I try to help them kind of start the same health journey that I did, try to help them meet them where they are. So I do love working out. I found that, you know, I didn't always like working out, but now it's, you know, something I need to do every day. So I love heavy lifting, and I'm starting to, I still don't love running, but I love challenges, and so it's challenging to me, so I do it.
I personally hate running, so yeah. Kudos to you. And you've done half marathons?
No, so I've done 5Ks.
5Ks.
Okay. So I've done, I'm working up the courage. Yeah. I'm working up the courage to do a half marathon, but we'll see in a couple years. So. But I'm also a certified yoga teacher.
Awesome.
So I do teach yoga again to Muslim women through the masjid.
Right.
So that's kind of just, you know, kind of what I do for fun. But I'm
and
also
what mosque is that you're part of down there?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm part of the Valley Ranch Islamic Center, cool. Which, you know, you may have seen a lot of our programming is live streamed. We have Sheikh Yasser Burgess and Dr. Omar Suleiman that sort of lead our religious or just lead programming, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. You know, it's a really great masjid. We're very active there, and I was the programs committee lead, and then I was just a programs committee member for a while, but I've just switched over to the CARES committee, so I'm leading the CARES committee now. And the CARES committee is a committee that does programming to help provide community service. So some of our programming includes, we're working with Masjid Islam, which is an inner city masjid. We are working with them for their Day of Dignity programs. They're raising, we're collecting food for that. We have another program that we just started called Baraka Bites, where we once a month feed hot meals. We'll go downtown, feed hot meals to the homeless.
Awesome.
And so we have like just like outreach programs that we're doing like that. And so I'm, you know, so I'm really involved at the masjid. I'm basically there. Sometimes I joke that I don't even know why I have an apartment, because I'm at the masjid all the time. But I mean, that's a good thing, right? So,
right. I've only visited Dallas and Plano once before. So give us a lay of the land in terms of like where Valley Ranch Islamic Center is, where downtown is, because I would imagine downtown Dallas and like that community is a little bit further apart. But just give us a little regional geography.
Yeah, Dallas is huge. So we have actually, it's kind of a metroplex. We have Dallas, we have Fort Worth. And so Irving is where the Valley Ranch Islamic Center is. And so we are kind of in between Dallas and Fort Worth, but closer to the Dallas side. So we are a western suburb, I guess. And you have Dallas. And around that, around Dallas, we, you know, other popular suburbs, I guess, are Plano, Allen, McKinney. All of that is up north. And that's sort of a growing area. So that's kind of like the northern market. It's how actually we refer to it at Children's as a northern market. Because that's so the northern suburbs. But then you also have areas like Arlington, Mansfield, that whole area, which is Grand Prairie. So that's a little south, and also south and east, closer to Fort Worth. And then Gollum, so you may have heard of Gollum Institute, where Abdelnasser Jangda, and you know, that's where the Roots programming is. And that's located more centrally in
Carrollton, is
Carrollton.
It?
Yes, Carrollton. Like, I can't even remember. You see, you know more than me. I'm trying to remember. It was Carrollton. Another popular area is Richardson, which is also kind of central. So we've got different pockets.
Yeah, and then Yakin Institute is there as well, right?
Yes, Yakin, I think, is headquartered in Carrollton near Gollum.
Okay.
But at Valley Ranch Islamic Center, we have Sheikh Omar does his the first series. So that's live at from Valley Ranch. And so we'll have a lot of Yakin programming at Valley Ranch. So I do volunteer with Yakin as well. Fantastic organization. They are national, so you may have a local chapter or, you know, some local opportunities to volunteer with Yakin. Highly recommend doing that, because it's just a really, they're just a really great organization to volunteer with. I also help with Miftah Institute, which is based in Michigan, but sometimes they'll have courses here in Dallas. Actually, this Friday we have a class with Sheikh Omar, and so I'll help Miftah when they're here in Dallas.
Awesome. Yeah. And then, you know, you've served on AMCF's board in the past, helping with the Muslim Philanthropy Awards and annual symposium coming up in November 18th. So, you know, you are, mashallah, doing a lot, it sounds like.
I'm always on the go.
For sure. And then, you know, you mentioned like you applied to a lot of places and places where family was, but how important beyond that was like the Muslim community? Because it seems like you're super integrated there. You found your mosque, you found your community. So how does that structure into your like day-to-day life?
I mean, when I was looking, I definitely did want somewhere that I could be involved. And so that was like part of my prayer, that I would not only land somewhere professionally, but personally, that would allow me to grow. And so I feel like that Valley Ranch Islamic Center was the right place for me, because I had already known Sheikh Yasser and I already knew Sheikh Omar. And so volunteering with the masjid and volunteering with Yakin was kind of a natural thing, because I've already had built relationships there. So that was kind of something that was easy to do. But now I'm just so part, like the masjid is so much a part of my life that I'm literally I am there every day. And it's just, you know, every evening I always have some sort of meeting, or I just love being there for any of the daily prayers that I can catch. I actually live just 1 mile down the road. So alhamdulillah, walking to the masjid is one of the best blessings. Like when you walk to Jummah, it's a huge blessing. And you don't have to deal with parking, because we all know
win-win.
Parking is an Olympic sport.
My solution to that was having a motorcycle, so I could always get in and out really easily, but walking is even better. So kudos.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just really something that's really integrated into my life and just a part of my life. I also work, you know, I volunteer with the youth events. We have, you know, two amazing youth directors, and their programming is fantastic. As you know, I feel like sometimes I volunteer for youth events because I really want to attend them because they're that good.
Yeah.
As an
Well, I
adult.
don't know how old you are, so you're still youthful. They
Yeah.
say 40 and under. I'm holding on to that, at least for myself. So
Yeah, exactly. I'm totally a youth.
yeah. And then I heard that Imam Dawood Yassin just moved to town as well to accept a position being a youth director or something similar.
Actually, I think he's in Austin. Yeah,
Austin. Okay.
that's a
Fair.
little flowers away. But yeah, that's
Okay.
really cool.
Yeah, right
Yeah.
on. I knew him from when I lived in San Francisco for 10 years. So, yeah. Right on. Well, Texas seems like it's the place to be. Share a little bit more in terms of just like what advice you have for people who are either in the nonprofit space, development space, or just trying to look for something that speaks more to their passions and aligns with their values and things that they want to do and send in the sense of like having purpose.
Yeah, I would really recommend volunteering because you get an opportunity to find different talents that you didn't even know you had. You get a chance to taste different fields. You get a chance to work with different people. I think just volunteering in general just gives you an opportunity to enter into spaces that you may otherwise not be able to. And then you can kind of go from there, and you can kind of take some of what you've learned and the contacts and the networking that you've done while volunteering and form that into your career, which is kind of what I feel like I ended up doing. And people, you know, you never know who you're going to meet, and then they'll come back years later and, you know, be a part of your life. And you're like, and that will goes back to like the involvement that you are. So just staying engaged and involved, I think, in your community, however you define that. It could be your city, it could be your religious or cultural community, but I think finding your spot, and then growing in it. So kind of think about who you want to be, where you want to be, and trying to find how can I build the roots to get there.
Right on, super helpful. Well, in relation to Muslim philanthropy, would love to get your insights on just kind of like advice for Muslim-led nonprofits, how they could engage more on the stewardship side, what best practices you see in the industry and opportunities for organizations, maybe similar to AMCF that are part-time staff, budget isn't huge, and you got to start from somewhere. And maybe they don't even have a development person on staff. Like, what are some quick tidbits that people can do at nonprofit organizations to deepen the connection with their donors?
I think one thing that sometimes I find missing is showing donors the impact of their donation. And so I just want to give a quick shout out to an organization, Pious Projects, which is based in Bridgeview, Illinois, or right outside of Chicago. They do a fantastic job with showing where your money goes. I actually did one of my final projects in my master's program on them. And so that's why I'm a little, maybe a little biased, but I do really enjoy working or just donating through them, because they're really great at showing you the impact of your work. And that comes through emails, their website, their social media. You really see them on the ground, promoting the or just pushing forward their mission. And so I think being mission focused, don't get lost in mission creep. Sometimes smaller organizations that have low budgets want to do everything and everything, but you really need to stay mission focused. So stay focused on pushing your mission forward and showing your donors how they're helping you do that. That really will go a long way, I think, to especially if you have a smaller budget, That way you'll retain donors and your donors will tell their friends and you'll start building organically your donor base, and hopefully eventually help you grow and into financial sustainability.
Great advice. You know, things that many organizations can implement and learn from. You know, what resources have helped you professionally? I know you said that, you know, you're involved and doing more on the professional development side. So where do you turn to for getting some of these resources?
I mentioned earlier, Donor Relations Guru is a really fantastic resource. Also getting involved with like-minded professionals through groups like AFP. You have to remind me what AFP stands for.
Association of Fundraising Professionals.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. So associations like that, we use a whole alphabet soup and then you can't remember what they actually stand
right.
for.
Yeah.
And then we have ADRP, which is, I think, Association for Donor Relations Professionals, ADRP. So just professional organizations like that, because then you'll get to meet your peers that are in different industries or maybe the same industry and they're working at, you know, a hospital. So you're basically meeting your counterpart at different organizations. And that actually helps so much to be able to do that. And we, the peer learning is really huge. I think it's really underestimated. Obviously you have your, because like I said, you can read things in textbook, everything seems ideal. The world is not ideal. And so being able to learn from your peers, you get to, you know, avoid pitfalls that they had fallen into, or successes that worked really well for them. And so I think, you know, just getting involved with any way you can get peer learning, either like, you know, AFP or ADRP or just professional associations like that.
100% agree. Great. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I think just like kind of just a leaving note. I think don't be afraid of following what you're passionate about, because you can really make it into your living. Sometimes, you know, we try to hold back and we think we only look for, you know, like especially in like our South Asian community, they have to be a doctor, engineer, you know, and you don't have to be. I think you can be engaged in a meaningful way in your community and still bring that back into your professional life. You don't have to have a job you hate. You can do something meaningful to you.
Sure. Great. Well, thank you so much, Farial. It's been a real pleasure having an opportunity to reconnect and chat with you. And I'm so glad to hear that Dallas is a vibrant community for you. And it sounds like you're making it a much better community as well. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. All right. Take care.
You too.